Happy Wednesday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and who would have thought less sleep equals more energy? Who would have thought less sleep equals more energy? Not true. It could just be adrenaline. It could just be me still flying off of my New York trip. It could be just a, you know, mere change in the lifestyle that gives me a little bit of dopamine or serotonin jolt to make it exciting, because I've been getting a lot done. Well, it's only been one day. Okay. So it's been 2 days, like 2 days, and getting up early this morning. I think I went to bed probably about close to midnight. And I woke up, of course, periodically through the night. Not so much to pee. I may have peed once. Yeah, I think I peed once, but that was like maybe five, you know, later in the sleep. It wasn't in the middle of the night. And I went back to bed, slept a little bit, woke up. I think 6:46 is the number I remember. And I wanted to get up at 7:30 because I got an eye appointment at 10:30. And I work downtown today. And my appointment is right by the job. That's why I, you know, booked it years ago and still been going to her. Alicia Barnes is her name. Black female for all you people. Black Lives Matter. Reparations. I didn't have to go there, did I? You notice I don't go there anymore? I really don't. Only thing I do is talk about me now. And I think I started the conversation yesterday that I can talk about relevant topics. I can talk about Steelers and get more likes and more hits. You know, I can talk about things that are in the news. But they don't concern me, basically, if that's the right word. I don't feel that they're relevant and they're exciting to a degree. But I'm going to do what I want to do anyway, or I'm going to figure out a way to do it. I was going to say faith and confidence. I have confidence, not faith, because experience has taught me this. This is not completely not based on that. No evidence. I have evidence and experience in working the system and how you can manipulate. Well, manipulate might be the wrong word. Yeah, you can also manipulate it if you have to. You can manipulate and navigate the system to where I can get whatever I want and everybody can be happy. That's just the way to do it. You just got to have a wherewithal or capability or cerebral capacity to figure it out and to work it out, to see things differently, see things in a different way. And I realize I've always done it. I've always seen things my way from my point of view. This may even go back to the Wayne Gretzky Greatest Athletes show documentary, where he said that unsupervised play, you let kids or whatever just go out and do their own thing and figure it out themselves. And more than likely, they're going to figure out a different way of doing it. It may or may not be more, get better production or more efficient than the so-called norm. Even though the norm has been worked out maybe for thousands of years, any habits or rich or methods or mechanisms we do things, you know, for thousands of years of trial and error, you know, the group of us, society as a whole, through information that's been passed down, it's kind of worked out what may or may not be the best way to handle this, the best way to do this. But human capacity has shown me, human ingenuity, human creativity has shown me my experience, that people will figure something out. They will figure out a way to mess something up. They'll figure out a way to fix it. They can figure out some miraculous stuff. The thing I always like to say is, I've seen people who couldn't multiply themselves out of a paper bag, couldn't add, do subtraction, completely uneducated, unworldly experience, limited experience as far as the traditional education and learning and the processes of the mainstream, completely outside of that loop, have thought of and created some one of the most magical things I've ever seen to get the same thing done. It's all about execution. It's all about your capacity and or your need to have something happen. So, you know, I look back over my life and there's been moments where I saw something that I saw worked. And I just kept going with it. And to me, it was intuitive. Fish don't know he wet. I mean, a lot of times I'm like, everybody should be doing this. It's the way it works best. Why isn't everybody doing it this way? You know, why isn't everybody, you know, having 6x9 speakers in the rear deck of their car so they can get that bass boom when they're riding down the street? You know, I developed all that stuff. Why isn't everybody Velcroing hard drives on the back of their laptop to get better, to get more hard drive space on laptops now that come with smaller SSD drives? Just little things, you know, that I've just taken to be intuitive. And I guess, you know, I do have greater cerebral capacity, if that's a word I just made up, than most people, based on experience and just probably genetics and education, the way I was brought up, my parents, the household, the number of people, number of words that were spoken to me or I talked to, interactions in early life, my openness to human beings, my natural, not natural, but a, oops, time to turn around. Not a natural, but a easygoing, you know, just unapprehensive view on life and people. You know, I wasn't raised with threats. I wasn't taught threats. I wasn't taught I had enemies. So I'm open to a lot of things that a lot of people I know for a fact, you know, are leery of, or just flat out don't trust, or just tell you, just don't do that. And they've never done it, but they've heard something about it on the internet or from hearsay. So I'm open to that. And I'm really, really have always been open to doing things the way I thought they should be done. Even at a young age, I'd evaluate what was told, what I was taught, you know, the reasoning behind it, with this, with that. And I would say, that don't make no sense. And I would question it. You know, sometimes I get an answer or response to it makes it, oh, okay, I see it now. Or other times I just hold on to that belief, that belief ain't accurate, or it's not it does not correlate to my experience and what I think should be successful when doing this or doing that, or how that should be handled, or how this should be handled. So now it's, okay, I just wanted to make sure it's not going in the green. But anyway, so, I mean, that's always been me. That's always been me. And I was going through stuff in storage. And my God, I kept just about every task and assignment that I've done for companies for the last 20 years. I got printouts, full page, full 8x12 sheets of paper with all my tickets on it, before ticket system, handwritten, a lot of them handwritten, everything I've done, every task I performed, I noted. You know, probably because of something that I want to do for myself, and probably because it was required by the job to justify what you've been doing or how you've been doing it. So I threw away probably, oh yeah, I got 50, 60 pounds maybe of papers. Did you know they say 100 sheets of paper is about a pound? I'm thinking about that because I might have to shred some stuff. Because I got a lot of, you know, the government, when I was dealing with my taxes and government issues way, way back, every government puts your social security number on everything. So you should shred all those papers. Usually I don't care, but there were so many of them that, you know, I wanted to go through them. At least get the overwhelming majority of them and put them aside, because there's another box of stuff that I want to shred from my father's from my father's papers and stuff. It has his social security number all on it and everything. So I'm going to take that and pay for it. I think they want $1.49 a pound. You know, so I probably got 50 pounds worth of stuff. But, you know, I have peace of mind. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm not so worried about my address. It's just the social security number, you know. And I, you know, I go through all this stuff. Stuff is already organized. It's just the piles just kind of got messy. But everything's always already organized. I can pick up a stack and look through it. It's the exact same stuff. Everything's, you know, preliminary organized. So I was able to shoot through a lot of that. And I did that during work yesterday while handling my business because my energy is up. Because I was up early yesterday, 7:30 again. Got out there, got some steps. DMV, I told you all about it. Got to the DMV. Got home early enough to where I was able to jump in the car and drive to Pasadena and get some stuff done. So I'm just, you know, my energy is up. And who would have thought that sleeping less would give me more energy? Me. Because I've actually said that before. One of my sayings is, there's a such thing as sleeping too much. There's definitely such a thing as sleeping too much. But this may not be it. This may be something different. Can you see the difference if I'm looking here? Or if I'm looking here? See the difference? But, so that's why I'm out here now. You know, I'm gonna go get my eye exam. And then tomorrow, it'll be like a regular day, nothing happening before work. I'm scheduled to get up at 9:20 was my get up time. So I can get out and start walking at 9:30 and be back home at 11. Give me an hour to take a shower, get dressed, which is more than enough time so I can just relax, kind of settle in. And, you know, if I see something I want to do, I can do this and do that. You know, and I eat during work. So basically, when I get my breakfast, quarter cup of grits, quarter cup of cottage cheese, and half of a sausage link and water with my multivitamin. And I have been taking generic Claritin due to the rainy seasons and stuff, I guess you can call it. So I kind of backed off of that. So I get that. And while I sit there and eat that, I'm, you know, doing my personal computing, doing a little bit of personal computing, tidying up, getting this, doing that, and starting up my work computer, getting it ready. So when it comes 12 o'clock, go time, you know, I'm ready. And 12 o'clock ain't even go time. 12 o'clock is punch in time. Go time is 12:15. And I make sure that, you know, I'm in place, things are working, so that the metrics of our performance, I'll be ready to, you know, handle those, which I would want to say, third month in a row, top analyst, baby, by a margin, by multiple percentage points. This boy don't play. This boy does not play at all. None. Actually, I do. I play a lot. Shut up, Jeffrey. That's all you do is play. All you do is play, but you play hard. Okay? All you do is play. But you play hard. You play very hard. And your play, a lot of times, is work. your play, there's like something to your play. You know, sure, you know, you play. But there's something usually productive. Or, what's the word I could use? There's something usually productive or it's producing something or learning something. There's something extra to it. There's something on it, even though I'm playing. So I don't have games, I have tools. My games are tools. And my things I do to keep my mind occupied, or if I just want to do that or do this, is usually producing something. Or organizing something. Organize everything. I was looking through some stuff, you know, through the storage, because I, you know, my extra energy got up, went to storage Sunday or whatever day that was, did some work in there, pulled some stuff out of there. Stuff that's been in there, papers that's been there for 20 years. Like I said, I got like 50, 60 pounds of that stuff probably that I can just throw away. I filled up a trash bag with paper. It's so heavy, I might have to double bag it because it might just, you know, bust. It was just pure paper, just got rid of it. And I'm looking at all, but I'm looking at all the people I served and helped at the different jobs, and seeing names, remember names, anything about that stuff that I may or may not want to keep. It's the names of the people that I work with and what I did for them. And little, if I saw little notes, in fact, the little notes were usually set aside anyway. I was so organized even during my regular life that when I picked up a folder, you know, someone would be like this thick, a folder of my task or help desk tickets or whatever. Because a lot of times we used to do them on paper. Back in the day, we had to do everything on paper, turn it in. It would be all task. Any extra peripheral, like, oh, Jeffrey, you know, any personal messages weren't in that stack. And I had another, you know, I would have another folder or group for that, for each job, you know, like my personal thing. At, when I worked for the Army Corps, I had a folder. It had all our gambling in it. The Avacom too, all the Avacom stuff. You know, it was separated from business, from HR kind of stuff, and insurances, that administrative stuff, and the personal stuff, and the gambling stuff, and my personal notes, and school, same thing. So I just shot through all that stuff, got rid of a lot of it, got rid of a lot of it. So I'm feeling good. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that less sleep equals more energy? Now, true, it may hit me later. It may hit me later. But hopefully when it hits me later, I have my weight down and I'll be sensible. Hopefully when it hits me later, I have my weight down and I'll be sensible enough to keep it down on the weekend, this coming up weekend. That's what I'm talking about. I'm always looking to the weekend. I do good during the week, except for today. We'll see what we do today. Going in the office, there's always food. Going in the office, there's always food. In fact, I may skip breakfast, but I like to have something in my stomach. I may skip breakfast. I don't know. I got to see about that. Because I really like having something in my stomach. I may skip breakfast because I know as soon as I get to work, there's going to be something there. I think we're having chicken or something. So, and when you work for one of the largest, law firms on the planet, worth multi-billion dollars, a year revenue, you eat good. You do everything good. In fact, when I was in New York and I saw their gym, they had a gym. I mean, this is a Time Life building. It's like downtown, like right by Times Square, right across the street from Radio City Music Hall. You're talking about, that's like prime property. Next door to it was the Major League Baseball something. I don't know, store, whatever that was. But it was official. I mean, you walk in there and gave us on a tour. We went down in the basement and they showed me that gym. It made me mad. It was disgustingly magnificent. I'm like, and that kind of let me know what I'm dealing with. See, and it just hit me too. I'm in a law firm, one of the biggest law firms in the world. You know, you come in and they tell you that, blah, blah, blah. What do you know about law firms, you know? What do you know about law firms? You know, and then I started to realize law firms are on a different level. Law firms and the way they operate and handle and the prestigiousness of them and the way they're looked at and the way they're respected is on a whole different level. And I'm starting to get that, but I'm kind of spoiled and used to it. And I should have noticed that when I saw, you know, well, when I came in, we were like on the third or fourth floor, or one of those floors. And it was okay, you know, it was okay. Then they remodeled it. They remodeled everything. I think all the, a bunch of the offices, everything. And it just went to a whole different level. It just went to a whole different level. I mean, just magnificence, literal magnificence. And I got kind of used to that. And then I went to New York and their stuff is on a whole different level. Each floor is a different motif. I mean, it's food, it's cafeteria. I mean, it's coffee, it's just, you know, fountain drinks. It's a heaven. It's literally heaven. And the workstations and the equipment and the, it's on a whole different level. Everything is new and sharp. And it's us and IT to keep it working. You know, it's a battle because everything don't work all the time. And thank God, because if it did, I wouldn't have a job. But yeah, I took a tour and he showed me the conference rooms, you know, where lawyers get together and they have webinars and people talking to people all over the world and the, how it's set up and the projectors and how rooms can be broken down or modular and the furniture's all brand new and clean and Zoom meetings and just everything is set up at focus room. We have hoteling, you know, so when people come in, they just grab a seat, you know, you just grab a seat or you reserve a seat because a lot of people working from home and blah, 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 blah. You go from floor to floor to floor. I think they got like 5, 6, 7 floors. Then they got another floor on the 14th. You just go through all these, you just see each floor had a different motif. And I'm talking about nice. I'm talking about some quality decor. I'm talking about some real shit. I mean, this stuff was just like, it's bombarding the senses. It's so immaculate. Well, immaculate might, yeah, it's probably immaculate, yeah. And so we're taking a tour and he said, all right. So we go down to the gym. You go downstairs, you see the name of our company on the door. It's like, cause you know, you're in the basement. It's like all white doors. Looks like you're in a government place or something. You open up that door, woo, you see the size, saw the size of that gym and the brand new equipment and the people working out in there. And it was up for us only, our company only. And as you walk in, you got people sitting at a desk. We got personal trainers there. There are personal trainers there, I think, all the time, 24 hours a day. Two of them sitting there to help you. And I'm talking about personal trainer looking cats. Cats who look like they do this, you know. You know, the way, they, just the look. You know, not so much y'all buffed out and stuff, but, you know, just that look they have. You know, with the way their shirts fit or whatever. You know, the haircut. You know, it's like they should be wearing a whistle and carrying a clipboard or something, you know, something like that. You can see that they're fit and they dress, they're dressed as if they're fit. So, and I see them and it is big, beautiful gym. People working out, just getting it on. It's like in the middle of the day too. And then he was like, all right. Then we leave the gym and there's a nurse practitioner there 24 hours a day, like a real nurse. Like a real certified something where she could take blood, they could take blood and do a lot of the doctor stuff there for free. You can get your blood drawn there. They can send it out. There's a CVS around the corner. They can get your prescription. They can write prescriptions. They can do this. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. This is just disgusting. It is disgusting. And then, you know, on my travel, you know, I booked my stuff through there. Travel agency and the recommended hotels and the prices of the hotels and what they pay for this or that. And it's just on a whole different ballpark than me. It's like the hotel I stayed at, it was the closest one to it, you know, and it was preferred or recommended. It was like $300 a night. I paid $333 a night to stay there for two nights. They picked up the other days, you know, that I was supposed to, they flew me out. You know, I flew coach, of course. I didn't, no reason for me to, I couldn't do it, even if they were gonna pay for it. You know, then when I get there, New York cats, young dudes, you know, they work the desktop side, but they still call it desktop nowadays. You know, were telling me, since they came up through law firms, they know how they operate and how expenses and how expenses was appropriate and not, quote unquote, appropriate and not appropriate, you know, for the culture. So he was saying, like, you know, some of the stuff that he had done, you know, in expense to the company without blinking. Because some of these lawyers, I know they do. I know for a fact, you can hear just about the tone in their voice that, you know, they'll spend $500 to get a limo from JFK to the office and pay somebody this or that. You know, because these people are billing maybe $5,000-$6,000 an hour. So every second, you know, their life, if it's not billing, that's money they're not losing. They're losing. So when they call us a lot of times, they're not billing. So it's about getting them back on there and getting them going again. Because they're charging these companies. I mean, like I said, this is the third or fourth, second largest law firm on the planet. We dealing with the big boys. You know, this ain't no Larry Parker stuff. This is corporate, huge, billions of dollars stuff. And I just realized that, you know, that's the mentality I'm in. That's the, not mentality, see, I got distracted by somebody coming. That's the industry I'm in. That's the company that I'm in. And in my position, I'm top dog. I'm excelling. So one of the best, largest law firms in the world, when I'm doing help desk analysts, global help desk analysts, I'm like the best, one of the best. And I just take that for granted. That's just who I am. And as I was going through my stuff yesterday, and I was going through my stuff, you know, yesterday from other jobs, I've always been this person. I've always been this guy. That's the standard I've set for myself. The standard is a standard. It's inherent. I walk in thinking, what's up? You know, how we gonna do this? You know, how y'all wanna do this? No, it's not that way. It's not that way. There's a little bit of competitive energy in me that is that way. But mostly it's like, come on, let's get together. It's not get together, no. And it's not all about harmony and rabbits and bunnies and rainbows either. But it's more platonic. It's more, what job needs to be done? What am I supposed to do? Who's the best to ever do it? I want to shoot for them. What are the best numbers? What's the highest? It's not even about other people. It's about the statistics and the numbers and the ratings and the performance. It's not about who did it, really. It's about what was done. And I just shoot for it. I look and say, hey, person A, is this really good? You know, I want to find out how they doing it. And people ask me, people coming in, you know, I'm not threatening. I tell them. I say, hey, here's what I do. Here's how I do it. Here's the trick I do. Here's what I concentrate on. You know, have you got this? Have you got that? When I first came in, a dude gave me his whole OneNote. He had a OneNote of everything he had, you know, loaned or whatever. He just gave it to me. Now, I'm not against that. I'm not against doing that. My thing is, I don't know if there's something in there that I don't want everybody to see. Because though I am disciplined, and probably more than likely, you know, it's probably platonic, general professional stuff in there. There may or may not be some stuff in there that were, no, I didn't. I can honestly say, I probably didn't. I can honestly say, more than likely, I wouldn't have put nothing like that in there. And if I did, it would be minuscule. Let's be real. Yeah, my OneNote is probably good. I could probably share it. I probably should. So here's my OneNote here. You know, somebody did it for me. Here's mine. And of course, now, there's a lot to it. There's a lot in there. And it may be hard to, you know, understand and put together because of my writing or casual writing or, you know, I'm taking notes because I know I'm the only one that's going to be reading them. But all that is not, and another thing I realized too, when I went to work in the New York office, is that my department, global technology, may be on a whole different level than the rest, then the other, then the culture, maybe a little bit highbrow, a little bit, not sadiddy, but a little bit highbrow. It's like very high professional, just, I don't know what the word is, but when I got to the New York office and I'm hanging out with the hardware guys, you know, in the desktop techs, I heard cusses and inappropriate conversations. It had been so long. It had literally been so long since I heard boys be boys. I remember the first one. I was like, oh. I was like, I know they didn't. I heard all the cuss words too. All of them. And it wasn't like, you know, people just throwing it around, cussing, just to be cussing. You know, it wasn't like they was on the streets or nothing. But it was splattered or sprinkled with, you know, the words, the right word, the right cuss word at the right time. And you just, you can see the way it was coming off. You know, they were comfortable obviously saying it around me. You know, and they had me even, you know, slip one in. And at where I'm at now, GTSC, even when we used to go in the office every day, I told them it was 2 years being there before I heard anybody really cuss. And they might have just said damn or shit. So you get a perspective of what I'm doing and where I'm at and what I'm doing, you know. And just that just kind of hit me today. 3 months in a row, I'm top performer in the second biggest, largest law firm on the planet. You know, I'm respected, but I'm easygoing. I'm fun. You know, I'm respected. I'm easygoing. I'm fun. Easy to get along with. But the boy don't play still, you know. I'm able to be the person I am and execute at the level that I want to, but still be approachable and fun and, you know, respected but not feared to a degree probably. Because you got to have some kind of fear, apprehension. You just don't want people to think they can walk up on you and do or say anything. That's just Jeffrey Mitchell. You ain't doing that. That might be Clarence Mitchell too. That might be my father. Keep your distance. We cool and everything, but keep your distance. And it's up to me to determine what the distance is today. I remember traveling, speaking of physical difference, I remember traveling with my boy Lamar Miles. And for some reason, he kept walking this real close to me. You know, without even noticing. I was like, man, that's my personal space. I didn't say it like that. I said, look, dude, stay 2 feet away from me at all times. I mean, that was my road dog. You know, he understood what I mean. I was like, look, man, you're not even thinking, but you like walking up all on me. I was like, stay 2 feet away from me at all times. You know, that was my boy. One of the few road dogs that I had that I would actually travel with. And it was infuriating at times. I'm just not used to doing it. I remember 1995, 1996 Super Bowl, when I deliberately took my first trip by myself. And I had such a good time. I had such a good and free time that I never went back. I mean, I went back, had been in relationships, did things with people, you know, and it has its benefits, it has its joys, it has its, you know, exciting parts, you know, good parts, whatever. And I've traveled with other people and stuff. It's not like I haven't cut it off. But for the most part, I'm like, I'm planning most of my stuff to fly solo. I'm going to do it just for me. It's going to be Jeffrey getting out there, and I seem to enjoy myself more for the most part when I'm out there by myself doing what I want to do, how I want to do it, you know, just being free. I remember in the Super Bowl, Andrea called me. We was like, you know, me and her was like best friends. We was like just everything. Me and her was everything, you know. I guess friends with benefits, we put it mildly, because we was just beyond that. We was just beyond all of that. Whatever whatever, you know. And we talk about everything open, just everything. And she was talking about, she was just being a woman, you know. I want to fussing before the trip. I was like, and she got mad. She said, well, I'm not going. And hung up. I was like, okay. And I thought about it. Gave me a chance to think about it. You know. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm gonna go by myself. And then she called back. She said, all right. She called back. And she was like, she's like, okay, I'm going now. I knew she would. I'm like, nope, I'm going by myself. We was cool like that. She's like, nope, I'm going by myself. And she's like, you know, and I explained to her. I said, look, you know, I said, it's still me and you. We ever what it is. We is whatever we is. You ain't my girlfriend. Let's just keep that in mind. You ain't my girlfriend. Blah, blah. You know, we was closer than that. We was way closer than that. You know. And but we still cool, but I'm going by myself. And, you know, so I said, we keep in touch. You know, we're going to talk. I ain't trying to go out there and do nothing. I mean, she knew me. You know, she knew what I was going to try to do or not do, you know, because we openly talk about it. So she wasn't worried about, you know, that. So I went by myself. And, you know, we stayed in communication just like we normally do. And she called in the mother love. She goes, you know, she going to do something. You know, she going to try to do something. So she called in the mother love and got on the radio talking about how her boyfriend, or quote unquote, you know, for the sake of the conversation, she allowed me to be her boyfriend. And, you know, her boyfriend went to the Super Bowl and left her behind. You know, mother love was like, you know, they kind of did that. And she sent me the, you know, audio recording. That was cool. It was cool. You know, that's how close it was. But that's when I first realized, hell, I can do this myself. You know, the feeling I had traveling or being out there or doing it myself. I was like, ooh, okay. And ever since then, you know, I haven't been apprehensive. I don't want to say afraid of traveling by myself. That's what I do. I don't know why I went down that street, but my name is Jeffrey. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. Jeffrey Scott Mitchell the first. Jeffrey Scott Mitchell the first. There's a second. There's an Austin Jeffrey Mitchell. And from what I hear, there's going to be a Prince Jeffrey Mitchell. I'll tell you, that boy. I think boys are made. I think boys are made to defy their fathers, to be that thing that their father detests and is not. I think that's where they find their niche. Because I know I kind of did it. And I know my son is doing it. Even though we have a lot of the same characteristics, there's some basic principles or standards that he just don't adhere to, having the name Jeffrey Mitchell or Clarence Mitchell or Mitchell period. He like his mother, that's what I put it. He like his mother. But anyway, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk. For me, for the funk. For every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, as it will be, a totality of it all, a theory of universe, hypothesis of all is one. That's what I was going through my stuff yesterday. I even went back to where I start. I got the information stuff. When I start making my first web pages and screenshots of my first web pages, and this idea, a lot of the ideas that I still talk about now started way back then. Literally, some of the stuff about self and happiness started in the early 90s. So I've been talking about this stuff for 30 years. Anyhow, my name is Jeffrey.